I want to thank you for this time. Pray that all is going well for you and yours, and pray that our time together this evening is beneficial to you. My question to you tonight, I want to start with a statement, and it's a pretty important statement, and it is this: only God can save His people. When we as Christians find ourselves surrounded in our lives by troubles and distress, it's in those times that we turn to God in prayer. We ask Him to respond to us. But in the process of doing that, we need to do so believing that God will respond, that He will deliver, that He will protect. Tonight, I want to turn your minds to Psalm 56. It is another psalm by David, and again, we find David struggling with an oppression that is continually upon him by his enemies. At this time, this oppression, though, is not coming from an enemy, if you will, from without. It's coming from someone very close to him. You see, the enemy is his own father-in-law, Saul, who just happens to be the king of Israel. And Saul, in his increasing paranoia, has set himself against David with the intent of doing harm to David. As a matter of fact, his intentions are to end the life of this future king of Israel. And so here in Psalm 56, we find a heading. The heading at the beginning of the psalm connects it with a time when, as it says, the Philistines seized David at Gath. This is a reference that takes us back to the events recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21, there in verses 10 through 15. And the events take place in the time when David had fled from Saul to Nob, where he connected with Ahimelech, the priest there, in order to get the showbread bread of presents for himself in order to feed himself, and also the sword of Goliath. He left there and fled further down to the city of Gath, a Philistine city, which you may recognize as being the hometown of Goliath. Now, you may remember that David had killed Goliath in that battle some years ago, about 5 years. And David flees there thinking that the Philistine king, a man by the name of Achish, will grant him refuge so that Saul will not bother coming there to look for him. But some of Achish's servants recognize David, and they begin to warn Achish. Matter of fact, what they say to Achish is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Well, when David heard this, he became afraid. He was afraid that Achish might change his mind, that he might have David arrested and then later executed. And so what David began to do is he pretended to be insane. And what he would do is he would go to the gates or the doors of the city gate, and he would literally carve on them, inscribe things upon them. Don't know what it was, just know that he would do that. And in addition to that, he would let the saliva run down his beard. I can't imagine what it must have looked like to see him and the way he was doing this. Well, Achish saw all of this, and he rebuked his servants for having brought David to him. He said there in verse 15 of 1 Samuel 21, he said, do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? The result was that David was able to escape, make his way back east to a cave some 16 miles southwest of Jerusalem, known as the Cave of Adullam. And there he took refuge. Some men would later join him. But for the moment he was safe. However, Saul was still looking for him and would continue to seek his life. Well, as you read the psalm, I believe that it's Saul and those who are loyal to him of whom David is afraid, not the Philistines, but it's Saul and those with him that are seeking David's life. And that's what brings fear into David's heart. So tonight, let's look at what David says in this psalm, the words he uses, and look at the fear he expresses, the being afraid, and how he moves from that to faith in God's protective watch care over him, and how he ends the psalm. David begins with these words. He says, be gracious to me, O God, You may notice that as you read different psalms written by David, that many of them began with David saying something like that, "Be gracious to me, turn your ear to me, listen to me, notice me." And the reason he calls out to God is because of the great peril that he finds himself in. As a matter of fact, if you read through the rest of verse 1 and verse 2, he describes his peril. He says, "For man has trampled upon me, fighting all day long he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me." Notice the phrases that David uses to express these enemies and the peril that is against him. The first part of verse 1, he says, "Man has trampled upon me." At the end of verse 1, he says, "He oppresses me." At the beginning of verse 2, he says there that "my foes have trampled upon me." And then in the latter part of verse 2, "they fight proudly against me." This attack upon David is continual. It's ongoing. As a matter of fact, no less than 3 times in the first 5 verses, David uses the phrase "all day long" to describe this constant attack that's being brought against him by these enemies. So how does David respond to all of this? Well, in verses 3 and 4, we see his trust. He says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me?" You may remember that the servants of Achish earlier had said that David had slain his 10,000s. And even though David has figuratively slain his 10,000, David is still a man who has fears. And here he acknowledges that, his frailty. "When I am afraid," David's saying, "I'm afraid." But when he's afraid, where does he put his trust? He says, "I put my trust in you." That resolute trust that David puts in God allows him to be able to say, "I shall not be afraid." And there's a rhetorical question that he asked at the end of verse 4. "What can mere man do to me?" The answer is nothing. Not as long as God in His sovereignty prevents it. Only what God will allow can happen to David. But David further describes his troubles again, beginning in verse 5 and going through verse 7. He says, "All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps. They have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness cast them forth. In anger put down the peoples, O God." You notice here that David further describes his troubles, which his enemies are bringing against him. And imagine if this is you. This is what is happening to you that David is describing here. He said, "They distort, they twist my words. Their thoughts are against me for evil," or as another translation says, "They're always plotting to harm me. They attack, they stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps, they have waited to take my life." What if that were you? What if someone were twisting and distorting your words? What if someone was constantly plotting harm against you? They were seeking to attack you, they were lurking, they were watching your steps, they were waiting to take your life. I dare say you would find the place farthest away from all of this that you could to hide. And what you may realize is that there is no rest for David from this dogged pursuit. He is worn out. And yet David asks God not to let these people escape his divine retribution. He says, "Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples." So he's saying to God, "Please, cast them away. Put them down." Why? Because of their sin. Not because I don't like them. Not because they've hurt my feelings. It's because of the sin they're engaged in. Put them down. Verses 8 through 11 speak of David's protector. And these are some of the most powerful verses in all of this psalm because of what they say. It gives us David's view of God's attitude toward him. God's concern for him, and how he, in turn, responds to God. Notice here what he says, just in verse 8. He says, "You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Three things. He says, you've taken account of my wanderings, or you keep count of my wanderings. You know everywhere I've been throughout this process. You have watched as I left Gibeon with Saul and fled to Nob. You saw when I left Nob and fled to Gath. And then you saw me leave Gath and flee to the cave of Adullam. You know every step I took. You know every route I traveled. You're aware of all of that. And what does that say to us? It is that God knows our wanderings. He knows our struggles. He knows our trials and where we have traveled in our lifetime. But David adds to that something else. He says, you put my tears in your bottle. With these words, just to look at them may not mean much to us, but it does when we put it in context. You see, the image that David paints for us is of a practice that took place in the arid climate of ancient Israel. It was a practice that was used to preserve what were considered precious liquids, things like water, wine, milk, and other things of that nature. And those liquids would be preserved or kept in what we would call a leak-proof leather bag, what came to be known later as just a wineskin. But in David's mind, as David sees this, God considers his tears of lament so precious that he collects and preserves them as one would that water or that wine. God is collecting my tears, every one of them. And not only that, he says that David, if you'll notice, he acknowledges that God records them in his book. As he says, you've registered them, you've recorded them in your book, that book in heaven. So what is he saying? Three things. You keep up with my journeys, my wanderings. You know where I've traveled and what's going on in my life. You know the tears I've shed. You've recorded them. In other words, there's nothing about the struggles in my life that you're not familiar with and do not have concern over, which speaks to us as well. Because of all of this, David knew that his enemies would turn back when he called upon God. Look at what he says. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. Why? Because God keeps up with me. God is concerned about me. And what that causes David to say in full confidence are these words, this I know, that God is for me. Let me ask you, do you know that God is for you? Can you say that with full confidence? This I know, that God is for me. That says much. Our ability to say it or not say it says a great deal about our faith and where we are in our faith. It lets us know whether we have great faith or whether we have little faith, whether we have strong faith or whether we have weak faith. David's faith was strong because he knew that God would see him through. And so, if you'll notice in verse 10, he praises the Word of God. He says here, in God whose Word I praise, in the Lord whose Word I praise. What was it about the Word of God that was so important to David? It was from the Word of God that David drew strength. You see, God's Word is a source of strength to us when we are beset by enemies or trials or tribulations in our lives. When we are attacked, we need to be able to draw on the firm assurance of God's Word rather than the fluctuations of public opinion. Well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. Social media is saying this. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. What matters is what God has said. When our words are twisted to condemn us, when we are attacked by an enemy or by the fickle public opinion, we turn to God because only He sees the true state of affairs. He evaluates everything from His point of view, and that's all that matters because God is sovereign and He is in control. Folks, if our faith is founded upon our emotions or our feelings, it is a faith that will not stand when it's tested and tried. The only faith that will stand is a faith that is founded in the truth of God's Word, a faith that is familiar with the promises of Scripture, a faith that constantly goes back to that Word for answers and for understanding and for comfort and for strength. And because David's faith was in God and in His Word, he was able to confidently say, even as he had said earlier in verse 4, now he says again in verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" You and I know that man can do a great deal to us. Man can ruin our reputation through slander. Man can cause us to be fired from a much needed job that we use to pay our bills and take care of our families. Man can cause us to be hated and even torn down. And some even have the power of life and death over us in certain circumstances. However, as Paul said so long ago in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold His only Son for us, but freely gave Him over for us all, will He not with Him freely give us or give us all things? When God is on our side, we can find refuge even in the midst of the storm. I love what one individual who commented on this verse had to say. He said, "There is something more precious in a relationship with God than a life free from suffering here and now. There's something more precious to be found in a relationship with God than an entire life which has no suffering in it." David ends this psalm with thanksgiving. He says, "Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." No matter what might happen, David resolved that he was going to offer thanks to God. And he had every reason to praise God in the present because of what God had done in the past. God had, as he said, delivered his soul from death. He had kept his feet from stumbling. And it was because God had delivered his soul from death that David knew that he would be in the light of the living, or as we find later in another psalm, in the land of the living. And it was also because God had kept his feet from stumbling that he would now be able to walk with God. And that is something that we find to be very important in Scripture, the number of those who are privileged to walk with God. Long ago, in the upper room on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus said something to his disciples, which John records for us there in chapter 15 and verse 20. Jesus said, "Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." As Christians, you and I are promised that we will suffer persecution if we strive to live faithfully in Christ Jesus. However, when those times do come, we are encouraged and we must put our trust in the Lord. Only then will we find that our fears and our anxieties are replaced by assurance and peace. So let me ask you, can you say, "In God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid"? If you can speak those words, if you can say those words and believe those words, then may the blessed assurance of His constant watch care over you guard you through the rest of your life. But if you haven't put your trust in God, let me ask you, why not do so today? Why not today confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Why not today turn from your sin in your life that separated you from God? And why not today let Christ wash away your sin in the waters of baptism? If we can help you with that, please don't hesitate to reach out to us here at the Waverly Church of Christ. And if there's more that we can do, please reach out to us as well. But for now, I want to thank you for engaging with us in this study of God's Word this evening. And I do pray that God will watch over you and yours during this time and even beyond.